I know you're all glad that we finally got to the place where Job's restored. It was getting long and really feeling sorry for Job there for a long time. So finally he's restored. But last week, God confronted him and showed him his majesty, his greatness, his creation. And right off the bat, I thought of the song, page 58 in your hymn books, "This Is My Father's World." The world that we live in is our Father's world. He created it. We're his creations. And this song speaks to that. Page 58, "This Is My Father's World." If you'd stand and we'll sing this together. To sing is on 505, I believe it was. "Love Lifted Me." When we think of what God did for Job in tonight's lesson, pulled him out of his suffering, restored him, "Love Lifted Me." Let's sing all three verses of 505.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for the privilege we have of gathering together in your house. We thank you, Father, that you're a God of restoration. We thank you, Father, that you're a God of love, that you are love, and that you did lift each and every one of us out of the miry clay that we were in. Father, we just praise you for that. I pray, Lord, as Waylon goes over the study that he's prepared tonight, that your spirit would just be in him, that you would speak through him, Father, that you would just equip him to give us the words that we need to hear from you. We offer this up in your name. Amen.
Good evening. Thank you, Janie and Dave. I was just looking at that song we just sang, Love Lifted Me, and on the opposite page was, He Touched Me. And we saw that Job was definitely touched. And also on the other side, it was kind of like the bookends of 505, 504 is He Touched Me. And then 506 is, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. And we saw that Job knew he had a redeemer. Well, it's TGIM, and we have made it to Monday night again, but we have made it to the end of the Job study. It seems like it just started. Actually, it did start on September the 12th on a Monday night, and I'm going to kind of do a review question here before we get started. It's 5 months ago. I know that's pulling up some hard drive that you got to go back. But does anybody know what day we began the Job study on? It was a national day. The night we had the introduction, we were up in the, they're saying, oh man, is he crazy? We were up in the youth lounge. And that's where we met that first night for the introduction. If you weren't here, I'll grandfather you out. But it was the National Day of what? Excuse me, chocolate? That was what Trish Harper said. That's good that you would remember chocolate, Harper. That's good. Even I remember that was, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. But it was also, she said she heard that pulling in the parking lot. I wish Trish was here tonight. But that's not the answer. Did somebody else say something? National Day of Prayer. That's a good one, Clayton, but that's not the day it was. I love it. You got to take a stab in the dark. I'll give you half credit, Pittman, because it was the National Day of Chocolate Day. It was the day after 9/11, which is really so important with this. Steve, excuse me? Patriots Day. No. Which that's tying in with 9/12 was the National Day of Encouragement. If you remember that night. Is that ring a bell now? Or if I look at it and say, no, we really won't listen to you, Waylon. That just went right over our head. We didn't care to hear about that. But anyway, it was, when we read the book of Job, it's all about encouragement for someone who truly needs encouragement. Job so needed encouragement. So do we. Job so wanted answers about the suffering and stuff he was dealing with. So do we. It's the same situation. Job's friends gave him plenty of answers to why he was suffering. But they really weren't answers. They were really just a way of judging him. Not giving him any type of encouragement. Surely not giving him any answers. And so, really, no one needed the friends like Job has. But that's something we need to remember, too, not to be those friends like Job had. Because usually it's the opportunity to be a friend to someone rather than it is to go through a long suffering like Job went through. The Lord chose Job, his servant, to be his race favorite for this difficult race that Job has run and what he's gone through. The race favorite, really, he sought to plead his case before God. He really did. He wanted to get some answers from the race organizer. He wanted to know what was going on in his life. Matter of fact, in chapter 31, it says, "Oh, that Almighty would answer me." And so Job sought answers. But when you think about that, there's an old saying, be careful what you ask for. Job actually got that question answered. He got an answer from God in the whirlwind. God's race favorite, Job, gets his request answered. And God speaks to him from the whirlwind. I kind of wanted just to do a little Bible trivia before we move on. Does whirlwind have any significance with God in any other of God's race favorites? Clayton, you raising your hand real quick. Excuse me? Exactly. That's the one. Elijah was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. And so we see where God worked in another race favorite's life and how he worked. The kind of point I want to make there is that leaders and race favorites change. Because it went from Elijah when he was taken up in the whirlwind to Elisha. God never changes. And I think God wanted Job to know that. You know, even though Job didn't understand what was going on, he wanted to tell God what was going on, or what he thought the reason for what was going on in his life. But God had other plans in getting Job back on track. God tells his race favorite Job, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I will question you, and you will answer me. And so Job gets ready to hear from God in the whirlwind. And we're going to kind of pick up in chapter 38 and go through chapter 41, and then the other section we'll pick up. But tonight's title is Tell Me. That comes from chapter 38. Tell me. And in chapter 38, verse 4, it says, I love this right here. This is God speaking. Tell me if you have understanding. Job, Waylon, Greg, Faye, Doug, Libby, you could put your name there. Tell me if you have understanding about these things. And then also the other tell me was in verse 18. Tell me if you know all this, Job. And so God begins to question Job, and then he says, tell me if you know, Job. The quote, I love the quote. Don kind of pumped me up on this quote here. I don't know if any of you have been to YouTube and seen the video by S.M. Lockridge, but that's my king. I wish I could describe him to you. If you haven't seen that YouTube, I would recommend you go to it. It will get the juices flowing. And so really, we hear in the whirlwind Almighty God describe himself to Job through the questions. That's what he's going to do. And he's going to explain himself as the one to which everything under heaven is mine or belongs to me, Job. And he's going to do it through questions. So the first section tonight is, everything under heaven is mine. And that's taken from 41:11 as far as in our study of Job. And so many of the questions that Job gets, or it's just a tremendous amount of them, and we can't go through them all. But I kind of broke them down in chapter 38 into three U's, three W's, and two tell me's. The three U's are, and here are, I hope you have your Bibles with you tonight, because we're going to go back and kind of look at this and think about what God is asking Job with these questions and how we would respond if we were asked about this. In 38, it says, have you? You thought it was going to be a you, didn't you? Have you? The three you's are have you, can you, and do you. Have you? 38, verse 12 and 16. God asked Job, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? And then in verse 16, he asked Job, have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Already, I don't want any more questions if I'm Job, when I'm pondering what God has just asked Job with those two. But let's look. Have you? Let's go to the can you. Can you, Job? 38, verse 31. Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades, or loosen the belt of Orion? In other words, he speaks of the galaxy here to Job. And then let's look at the question he asked Job, do you? Do you, Job, in verse 21 of chapter 38, he says, do you know where light dwells because you were born? Because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? And then in verse 33, he says, do you know the ordinances of heaven, of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over earth? God makes it clear to Job right away in this questioning of Job who he is in his majesty and his power. And then let's go from the U's to the W's, the three W's. Where? When and who? If you look at it, they're the questions that God's asking Job there. Where, when, and who? Let's look at the where. And I kind of wanted to break these down into three points of the where. Verse 38, verse 14. It says, no, verse 4, 38, 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? So there's the first point God makes Job. Where were you when the earth was made, Job? The when, 38:11. When I said, and he's speaking of the sea here, God is, when I said, this is as far as you can come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. He speaks to Job about the earth. He speaks to Job about the sea, and then he questions Job about man. Verses 36 of chapter 38. It says, am I right there? No. Yeah. 36 of verse 36, it says, who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? In other words, the wisdom of the mind, the understanding of the heart, God places in any of us. And so he wanted Job to understand that. And I thought about, you know, Job and what he's thinking about right now. And I thought about, did anybody read the Da Vinci Code? Denise? Jane? You can raise your hand. Oh, got some more back there. The Da Vinci Code. Well, do you know, who was the author of Da Vinci Code? Dan Brown. Dan Brown and Job have two things in common. They really do. Did you know that? They have two things in common. One, both of them are men. That was the easy one. Two, neither can inform God about anything. I thought that was a cool thing when you wrote it. God alone is the author of wisdom. God alone is the author of understanding and knowledge. And man can't explain anything to God. And he really wanted Job to understand that when he began to question Job with these questions. And then he comes out with that other one. Tell me, Job. Tell me, give me some answers to these questions I'm asking you. And Job only can just sit there with his hand over his mouth. The race favorite, he just didn't have an answer. But you know what? That's what God wanted Job to understand. He wanted the race favorite. He wants us to understand, I am in complete control, Job. I want you to understand that. I'm in complete control of everything. Now, we had the National Day of Encouragement, but when we think about that right there, that ought to be a national year, lifetime of encouragement, that God's in control of everything, and I don't have to be, or you don't have to be in control of everything. And so, God is in control of everything. Even when we feel like the world is upside down and going backwards and nothing's in control, God's in control. Listen to this quote right here. This quote is from Jerry Bridges. I love it. And I'll try to go slow enough for you to write it down because this is a good one to have written down. If there is a single event in all the universe that can occur outside God's sovereign control, then we cannot trust Him. That's strong words right there. No matter what event happens in our life, no matter what suffering or trial we go through, God is in control. God has a plan. God is personally involved with our lives, and God has a plan. He wanted Job to get this. He wanted him to understand what was going on. That doesn't mean that I or you understand everything that's going on. We don't have to do that. That goes back to Deuteronomy 29:29. Remember? That's my favorite go-to. Some things are the mysteries that only God understands, and we will never know them. I want to go with, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah, because we're going to look at what Isaiah says about also who God is. God has just questioned Job, and he has just explained to him, but turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. And think about the things we just spoke of those questions, the have yous and the where, when, and who's. And listen to what Isaiah says, 12 through 14 to start with, and then we're going to read verse 26, which really speaks of the universe that God spoke about, asking Job that question. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure? Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? And who taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? I think we know the answer to all those questions. Now let's look at 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. Now he's speaking of the heavenly host here. All the universe. He calls them by name. In other words, God calls every star by name. By greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not missing one. The point I'm trying to make here is for God's servant, which Job was just that. He was God's servant. None like him on earth. The same thing with us. Those of us whom God calls his servant, the book of Job gives us a foundation to stand on for our faith when we seem like our faith is trying to be shaken. Also, to believe that in our hearts and know in our hearts, God is in control. That's what the heading of this section 1 was about. Everything under heaven is mine. Your life, Waylon. And everything about it is under my control. David also speaks of the thanksgiving of praise of who God is. First Chronicles, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to First Chronicles. Kind of going backwards a little bit here. First Chronicles 29. Listen to the praise to God that David gives here. And really, think about God speaking to Job and giving him these questions and asking Job to answer. Verses 11 through 13 in David's praise to God. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. There's Job 41:11. That's exactly what our heading was. That's what David is saying. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honors come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Is that our heart in the midst of trial and suffering? It's not easy, but that's where God wanted to take Job, to understand, I'm with you, Job. I'm taking you through this. I'm taking you through this for a reason, for you to understand who I am compared to who you are, the fact that you would want to question me. And so we move from everything under heaven is mine to the second section tonight. I know that you can do everything. Chapter 42. After hearing all the questioning from God, and Job pretty much saying, I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth and I'm going to be quiet. I've said too much already. 42, we see Job realize that God is trying to make him understand that he has been full of some prideful sin, bringing himself before the counsel of God. What does Job do? Job repents. What does Job do? Job goes and prays for the friends that comes to him. And then what does God do to Job? He restores him. He restores him. We see that Job realized it was time for him to get away from the pride that he had, wanting to question God about what was going on. God reminded the friends, let's don't forget them. We want to think about Job, but the friends played a big part of this story, didn't they? They really did. Let's don't forget about the friends of God's race favorite. They had misrepresented God before Job. They had it all figured out. They didn't really tell Job what God would have had them tell Job. And God's always in control, as I've been trying to share with you. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they lacked the very things that was in this devotion. The devotion's for February 21st, day's 20th. I just happened to look at 20th and looked over here. I said, wow, that applies tonight. The word is from Adrian Rogers. Scripture's 1 Peter 3:8. We're talking about friends here. A lot of times I feel like the friends part of this story, God's word in Job, is much more significant to us than with Job. I think many times we have the opportunity to be friends rather than we do suffer. People suffer. There are more people suffering around that we can reach out to than the times we'll just be there suffering ourselves. So I think it's important we don't miss this. The scripture is 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be tenderhearted, and be humble. Now listen to this. He lists five qualities of friendship. These five qualities were not part of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. I had to ask myself, are they part of who I am? And a friendship to someone who's suffering. The five qualities of friendship. Harmony. We are to be of one mind, not necessarily singing the same note, but complementing one another. The second quality of friendship. Sympathy. We hurt when our friends hurt. The world is looking for friends like that. Whew. Job was looking for friends like that. A fraternity. We are to love one another like brothers and sisters. There is no brotherhood like the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. Pity. If you want to be a real friend, you're going to have to feel deeply. You'll need to put yourself in the place of the other person. And the fifth one, humility. Genuine courtesy is thinking of the other person's needs before your own. You are less concerned with your rights and more concerned about the relationship. And then he concludes, begin to develop these characteristics of friendship in your life and watch God change your world. I thought, what five things that the friends of Job did not exhibit. And if you've had a friend that has exhibited those things to you, you know how important and what it meant to you when you were in that situation like that. So I thought it was kind of important. We kind of went back and looked, because God ends up addressing the friends too, and they go to Job. Kind of the last thing I wanted to look at is to kind of go back and look at how the race favorite, how God's chosen servant was able to make it through this difficulty. How he was able to stand strong, and how really it applies to us when we go through this trials and the suffering and the pain. Job, from 26 to 31, spoke. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to 26. We're going to kind of go through it, and I'm going to point out some scripture and try to point out what Job did to make it through this time of suffering, and something hopefully that will encourage us. Chapter 26, verse 14, it says, "Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" The race favorite, in his hardship, realized, that's what I want you to word, I want you to grasp that. He realized that he only could understand a tiny bit of God's power and majesty. Now, when the whirlwind came, he kind of got it. He understood it. He was able to grasp it better. And so his relationship began to grow even closer to God at that time. What does hardship build in us? What does hardship make us realize?
That we're stronger than we think we are.
It makes us stronger, doesn't it? Hardship builds character. It really does. Hardship builds character. And so that's what Job realized. He didn't know everything about God and who he was, but through this hardship, he learned a lot more about God. Chapter 27, verse 6. Listen to what Job says. These are Job's words. "My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live." Job said, "I really don't understand, but I know God is just." So in life's valley that Job was in, the race favorite, he knew his own heart. Job did. He knew his own heart, and so did Job's Redeemer. Job realized his Redeemer knew his heart because he said, "My Redeemer lives." Job's friends, however, they didn't see Job's heart, but they just wore Job out about what they thought Job was doing and why he was being punished. God's greatest commandment, what is it? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart. Job knew his own heart, and he knew that God knew his own. That's what God looks at. He looks at our heart. When we're in the valley, he's looking at our heart. When we're not in the valley, he's looking at our heart. Job chapter 28, verse 28. Let's look at that. Look what the race favorite says here. "And to man, God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Only God gives wisdom. The race favorite, in his difficult time, he understood the very source that wisdom came from. It came with the fear of the Lord. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of wisdom and the knowledge of God." God has the depths of wisdom and knowledge. Job understood that. In this time of suffering, he didn't have it all together, but he understood that. Chapter 29, verse 4. How did Job make it through it? "Just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent." During the time that Job thought he was separated from God, that time of separation, the race favorite remembered. He remembered his closeness to the Almighty, and the fact that God promises He will never leave us or forsake us. We can remember that. Even in the midst of those sufferings, we can remember that. Let's finish up. Chapter 30, verse 20. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up and you regard me. The race favorite, in the midst of the whys, the confusion about what was going on, the race favorite cried out to God. Even though he felt God wasn't listening. What does that tell us we should do? Cry out to God. If you think he's not listening, cry out to him. I like what Luke 18 says. Luke 18 in the parable of the woman crying out and praying for, she says, or Luke says, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. No matter what the circumstance is. And we see that come to fruition in the very end of Job chapter 42 verse 10. Remember, what got Job through this? One thing, he realized he didn't need to understand everything about God. He couldn't understand everything about God. He knew his heart and he knew God knew his heart. He understood the very source of where wisdom and knowledge came from. He remembered that God was close even when he felt he wasn't close. And he cried out to God even though he felt like God was against him. And then in verse 10 of chapter 42, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Job was restored when he prayed. Job got still before God Almighty when he spoke. He wanted to speak to God. I want to give you, you know, I want you to answer me, God. But he heard God question him, and he got still. And that's when God clearly speaks. When we get still, when we don't try to have all the answers, when we don't try to figure it out, when we don't try to want to know, why is this happening to me? When we get still and say, Gary said it tonight in our huddle time, what am I to learn from this, God? What are you trying to teach me in this? And Cheryl, I'm going to use you now because you said it yesterday. I thought it was a good example. It ties in now. When Neil was going through his sickness, she said she had a friend come up to her and said, Ashley's going to be watching you, how you respond in this circumstance with your husband going through this battle with cancer. That her daughter was watching how her mom would respond in her faith, in her strength. Who would she get it from? How would she react? What was Cheryl to learn from that? Perhaps being a faithful servant before her daughter, before God, and that built up her daughter's strength for a day when she will walk through a valley of her own like her mom. So we don't ever know what God's plan is, but he has a plan. What we've seen in these chapters, 38 through 42, it's a lot to cover. I didn't say anything about the animals. I apologize to Denise. Denise said, you're going to explain about the animals tonight. I said, phew, I don't know, maybe about the animal man, you know, maybe about us, you know, women, and what God wanted from us to know in this situation, to understand how I noticed the sin that affected Job was a sin that so easily creeps in on any of us, and that's pride. You know, pride is just, it can be so subtle and so, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm praying for my children. I'm being there. I got it all together. But, you know, sometimes, you know, God wants us to get even closer to him than we think we are. Out of anything to study, it amazes me. There was no one like him on the earth. Job, but yet what he went through. Word of God speak. That's what I'm going to close with tonight. It's a song by Mercy Me. And ultimately, that's what Job wanted. He wanted to hear God speak. And so, listen to this song, and then I'll close in prayer. And when I close in prayer, we finish Job. It's an encouraging time. I got chocolate chip cookies up here, and I've got sugar cookies up here. No dietary cookies up here. So please, when you go by, get some. Take with you. Put as many in your pockets you want to go. I got another box up there if they get gone. So, but listen to this Word of God speak by Mercy Me. No, wrong song. That was the end of it anyway. Don't you know that it spoke to Job when the Word of God spoke to him? When God spoke in His majesty and His holiness, and in Job's suffering, he could feel the rest come upon him. We're all going to go through trials, or we've been through trials, or we're coming out of trials. Word of God speak. He gives us the strength. It gives us the hope. It gives us the power to make it through it. And most of all, be that friend that we spoke of tonight, because you got more people probably suffering than we are ourselves. Praise God for His Word. Let's close in prayer. Father, Your Word does speak. It speaks with Your majesty. Your voice thunders. And then yet You tell us Your voice is a still small voice. Father, You are with us in any and every trial. Sometimes, Father, there are our own doings. Other times, Father, we have no idea why. But one thing, Father, your word so clearly sears our heart with, Father, is that there is a plan, there is a purpose, and you are in control. God, we love you. We don't deserve your love, but yet your very own Son suffered greater than any of us shall ever imagine. And he was sinless. That we could be redeemed, we could feel your grace, we could have that relationship restored, Father, that you desire with us. Father, as we move now to our study in Philippians, let us move, Father, with joyful hearts, knowing, Father, that you are with us always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.